With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney. CNN anchor and chief national security correspondent Jim Sciutto has reported from hotspots around the world, including Russia, China, and the Middle East. He's in Missoula to lecture about his new book, The Shadow War, Inside Russia's and China's Secret Operations to Defeat America. He sat down in our studios to talk with Sally Mock about journalism, politics, and foreign policy, beginning with this week's Turkish invasion of Syria.
What's going on there appears to have the president's blessing. That is puzzling to many people. He says it's because he wants to get us out of endless wars. This is something that benefits Russia, what's happening with the Turkish invasion. What's your take on all that?
Well, benefits Russia, benefits Iran, benefits the government of Assad in many ways, and also Turkey. And it contradicts the advice to this president of every military, national security, and intelligence advisor he has. And frankly, some of his closest Republican allies in the Senate and on the Hill. Listen to the remarkably critical comments from a Lindsey Graham, who, as you know, has gone to great lengths to defend this president on a number of things. So it's really difficult to understand why the president was willing to defy all that. The common thread in a lot of his decisions in foreign policy and domestic policy, frankly, is a self-interested calculation as to what political benefit he can gain from something. And he appears to perceive this as fulfilling a campaign promise to end endless wars. Now, the trouble is it has enormous and immediate consequences. One, just think of our closest ally in the fight against ISIS has been the Kurds. They were literally the tip of the spear and are now abandoned to an attack by Turkey with grave consequences. A new war has started. It's remarkable to watch, and I think Americans at home who may feel that it's a million miles away should watch the images coming from there, because you see now, again, America's allies getting shelled by a NATO ally.
And civilians being killed
and fleeing in caravans out of fear.
You mentioned that he's lost some Republican support for this action, but what do you think will be the fallout beyond the foreign policy dispute? Obviously, I'm asking about if you think there would be any Republicans switching on the impeachment issue, or are those two such separate things and the political cost that's being estimated by Republicans is different?
Yeah, they are different things. It is a risky time for the president who needs support. He needs a firewall in the Senate on this, because it does appear that there is majority support in the House, controlled by Democrats, to impeach. But of course, you need two-thirds in the Senate. So he needs that firewall. So it's a risky time for the president to be gravely upsetting his Republican allies in the Senate. Now, to this point, again, a Lindsey Graham or others have separated their criticism of the president on the Syria decision and whether they think his pushing Ukraine on Joe Biden is an impeachable offense. But I think a big indicator on this, because, you know, forgive me for suggesting that politics plays a role in Washington, but that if public support continues to go in the direction it is going for impeachment supporting, I mean, this Fox News poll is interesting, and you could tell it's interesting to the president because he said it sucks, his Twitter feed, right, you know, because he doesn't like polls that show negative information. His word, not mine, on that is that you do have a marked movement in support of impeachment over the last couple of weeks that we didn't see before. Now, it's not at a critical mass. It's still like around the 50% kind of mark. But the Fox News poll was interesting because they didn't just ask the question, should he be impeached, you know, kind of the equivalent of indicted. They said impeached and removed and hit 51%, which is pretty remarkable. You know, if those numbers go in that direction and senators and legislators start to calculate that their political future is at risk. But the thing is, we're not there yet, because in those swing districts, he still seems to have support.
If the Republican support for impeachment or for actually removing him from office isn't there, there's a lot of speculation about what that would cost Democrats in 2020. What do you think?
It's a real concern. It's clearly been part of Nancy Pelosi's concern about moving forward. First, she resisted having a formal impeachment inquiry. The Ukraine situation changed that. Now, resisting having a straight up, you know, headcount vote in support of a more formal across the House kind of vote, because she calculates that in those swing districts that swung in 2018, that those Democrats are vulnerable. I mean, that's a real risk. There was some internal Republican polling in those swing districts, still a large majority as opposed to impeachment. So they're calculating it's to their advantage. We'll have to see if, as more comes out about the Ukraine call and pressure, whether that changes the dynamic there yet.
No one seems to understand Trump's affection for dictators,
yeah,
including Vladimir Putin. And there is lingering suspicion that Putin has some nefarious control over Trump. Do you share that suspicion?
Well, we don't know it. I mean, I guess what I try to focus on, and I've been covering Russia for a long time, is what the president's decisions and policies do and mean. I mean, he has undermined American credibility in fighting the Russian threat in Europe against U.S. elections because, one, he doesn't accept it. He still seems to question whether it happened in the first place, whether Russia is a threat. I mean, part of the Ukraine issue here, right, is that he was sending his personal lawyer to explore what is really a conspiracy theory that it was really Ukraine that hacked the DNC servers.
There's no proof of that.
In fact, there's an enormous amount of contradictory evidence. The U.S. intelligence community concluded with high confidence it's Russia. Have never thought for a moment it was really the Ukrainians who stole the DNC server. And yet here you have a president dispatching his personal lawyer. So he doesn't even buy to this day that it happened. So if you don't buy that, how are you going to defend against it in 2020? And that's something that folks at home should be concerned about. Will this election be secure? He has undermined NATO in his public comment. So that raises the prospect as to whether Russia believes it could take advantage of that. You know, can they cause more misbehavior on NATO's Eastern Front because they don't think this president's going to push back? I mean, you look in Syria, as you mentioned, Turks are moving in from the north. The Russians are moving in from the south. Again, that decision helps the Russians. So whatever President Trump's motivations for doing that, whether it's ignorance of the threat, the end result is one that undermines U.S. national security interests when it comes to Russia. That's a fact.
And favors Russia.
Absolutely.
I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the role of media these days, because Trump has switched from calling CNN and many other news outlets, pretty much everybody but Fox, fake news, and now he's calling them corrupt news.
Yeah.
What are journalists to do about that?
Keep doing our jobs the best we can. That is my focus. That's the guidance I get from my bosses. My bosses at CNN have never wavered in the support of the work that we do. And when we do stories that get attacked by this administration and this president because he doesn't like the information contained in them, because they trust our reporting, they back us up. And I think that's the best thing we can do. It's insidious. We know why the president does it. He said it in so many words to Leslie Stahl. You'll remember that interview during the transition. He said, I do it because if you publish stories that are critical of me, I could then raise questions about it.
You know, and it's effective.
And the sad fact is that for a portion of the population, it works. I get beyond the kind of general social media hate mail attacks and so on and stuff from Fox News World or this administration, friends and family. You know, I will get from them sometimes, well, you guys are making this up. And I was like, do you really think I'm making this up? Do you really buy that? And some people do. So the sad fact is that misinformation, disinformation works. Now, on the flip side, I will say I'm stopped every day by people, and not just in the New York, Washington bubble, but when I travel, I landed in Missoula yesterday and someone came up to me and said, hey, so glad you guys are doing the work that you do. So I would say to people, I've been stopped more times in the last 2 years for those kinds of comments of confidence and thanks than in the previous 20 years of doing the news.
You've probably also gotten more death threats.
Well, yeah, that's a problem. That'll spoil your day. But, you know, I try to focus on the positive side.
Well, just one final question for you. There are people who are concerned that we're not just in a, quote, constitutional crisis right now, but that we're in a period that is really pivotal about the future of the country.
Mm.
Do you think that's hyperbole or share that concern?
I do, because in addition to attacking the media, just one institution, the president has attacked and undermined a whole host of institutions. Impeachment is a constitutional right. You may not like it, but to reflexively call it illegitimate, as he has other examples of congressional oversight prior to the formal impeachment inquiry, whether it's seeking out his tax returns or getting his former White House counsel to testify before the committee, Don McGahn, et cetera, our system only works if it works. Right? And if people respect it. And I always come back to like the old metaphor of the frog in the boiling water, right? That I think Americans tend to be comfortable and optimistic about, well, things will kind of work out, right? But the temperature's been rising and are we going to be the frog? Are we going to be boiled before we know it? And I think we see a lot of evidence on the other side where folks push back and institutions push back and people stand up and so on. So that should give us confidence. But none of this is happening in a straight line. So I think we all have to be vigilant because we're going to bear the consequences.
I've been speaking with CNN anchor and national security correspondent Jim Sciutto, and he'll be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock in the Denison Theater on the University of Montana campus, and he'll be talking about his book, The Shadow War with Russia and China, and it's an event sponsored by the Baucus Institute here on campus. And Mr. Sciutto, it's a pleasure to have you in our studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.